All right, good morning. Let's have a morning of worship together. And I always like this day. This is a day when we have communion and spend that time also. So let's begin with a word of prayer. And the prayer, just trust the Lord. The whole outreach of the gospel is fighting in America. It's not, it used to be when I was young, it was the various countries around the world and all that. Not anymore. It's here. They don't know it here. So we need to be in prayer for those here as well as those in other places. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the Word of God. How grateful we are for the teaching of the Holy Spirit, teaching us the Word of God. We pray, Heavenly Father, that this morning will be a glorifying of Christ, growing in the Word of God, encouraging each other. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. All right, let's begin with a song. What are we going to sing?
Yeah, would you join us, please, in singing Victory in Jesus, 475. If you have a hymnal nearby, please turn to 475, Victory in Jesus.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory. On Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His glory, how His precious blood atoned me. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Victory beneath the cleansing blood.
Thank you. All right, we have several things we need to be in prayer for. First of all, let's pray in regard to Lord Egg's father, Larry, and so what's going on with Larry?
COVID-19, he's in the hospital, went to the hospital Thursday, and it got really bad Thursday night. There was some concern whether he was even going to make it out of the hospital. And so they put him on some, I don't even know the name of the pharmaceutical, but he got a double dose yesterday. His oxygen level has stabilized above, not stabilized, it's generally now above 90%. He's in a much better place today. He's actually able to walk around a little bit and move, which is great, because the longer you lay on your back in that situation, it's bad.
Yeah.
So the doctor's very encouraged. He's got another dose on Tuesday, and then they'll make some determinations there as to whether he's to go home and recuperate at home. So.
And Beth?
She's doing well. She had a COVID test yesterday. So prayer is for Larry, but also the prayer is for Beth that she doesn't have COVID. I mean, mm-hmm. she's been taking care of him the last 10 days.
Yeah.
She's fully vaccinated, so hopefully that covered her there. But please be in prayer for her. It's a lot of stress mentally, physically, taking care of him, and then
okay.
all that's going on, decisions and stuff. So.
We'll be in prayer. Pat, how you doing?
I am much better. Thank you for the prayers. Do not stop praying until I'm out here running around.
and then we can stop?
I'll take a minute. Could I tell that one story?
Yes.
Herman called me at home, and I was so anxious. I was ready to scream and yell, and I
did a little bit.
Yeah, we should pray for Phil. He said, I'll keep praying, and he hung up, and an hour later, my soul was so calm. I'm just so grateful.
What kind of God we have. It's great. Well, I'm glad you're doing better and feeling better. We will continue being in prayer. You get well, and we'll be in prayer for you. All right. Now, let's see. As far as that is concerned, we need to be in prayer for Jeff Harrison's sister. She, Melaine, she has COVID, and they need to be in our prayer. So let's be in prayer for Jeff Harrison and his sister. Now, go back to the Daigs. So, how's Ben and Nick doing?
Ben and Nick are doing great. Ben's prepping for going back to A&M for FOW. He's going to be cadre, so he'll be training the fish. He's a chaplain
Good.
For their unit, so that's why he's
Good.
Going to be there, which is great. Nick is having more good days than bad. Yesterday, if he has a great week and does a lot of stuff, he gets really excited. He gets his pardon the expression, he gets his butt kicked by using so much energy, and it hit him yesterday. So, but he's having more good days than bad, which is awesome. So please continue to be in prayer for Nick and his in getting better. And back to Larry and Beth and family, please continue to be in prayer for his health, but also for their family. It's been a wonderful time. It's been a trying time. But Tom and Lori and Ray and Beth have had a lot of challenges mentally, you know, and spiritually, but they've come together, and we've seen the Lord at work, definitely.
We'll definitely continue in prayer. Very good. You know, I've been in the ministry 46 years, and you see a lot grow and come and go, and now you've got your two daughters, of course three really, are gone now, gone to college.
Almost gone.
And we love them, but going to miss them. Going to miss them. My goodness. And we're going to pray, continue, both of them. God, we still got one, but it won't be long before he'll be gone. So we got to start praying for some young people. Come on, y'all know how to pray. Need to be in prayer. Got to bring them in. Either some ones that don't know very much at all, to those that know some things. Bring them in. You need to be in prayer. Mark and Martha need our prayers. Not going too well right now. They don't have any problem. They both have tested, so they're both okay. But they need our prayers. So let's be in prayer for Mark and Martha. And please be in prayer for my wife. Dearly, please be in prayer. Wednesday, she went in for a major... doctor went in with this going to her brain, and supposed to have just been everything was okay. And I guess, Eve, you've had the same thing?
Well, I had surgery. I think Judith just had injections.
Okay. But yours is all right.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Well, hers is not doing all right. So we'll have to go back and see the doctor tomorrow. And he has talked to her about surgery, but he said, I hope not. It is not, this is not a safe surgery. And but anyway, please be in prayer. She's in suffering every day, at night. So please be in prayer. Okay, what are we doing as far as the... reach.
I have a fun story to share.
Please tell us.
Okay. But I speak with this also. Let me get a mic. Sorry. Or maybe I'm just going to come closer to the camera. That's okay.
All right. Yeah.
Okay. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's good enough, I guess. So, thank you for praying for the contract negotiation. However, probably due to my bad English, I was praying for 50% discount in the renewal of the contract, but God gave me 15.15 instead. We still got the contract is renewed for 3 more years. And also, please be in prayer for people who used to be able to get on our website. Of all 3 years that we've been with the remote servers in Arizona, that we have 154 countries that have reached us, or we reached them. This year, however, it's been down to 80. Up to now, it's not over yet. Many of the countries actually, they don't actually get on very often, and they try to come on. But I do notice that some of the far remote countries, like Zimbabwe, that used to come every year, that part of the world started falling off. So please pray for them. We don't know what's going on in their lives, but I hope that they will be able to get back on the internet and get to the lessons again. Also, praise report about the PDF is gaining traction. It's become one of the top 10 downloads every month. So that's awesome.
Okay, very good.
Some of these.
Yes.
Okay, very good. Please be in prayer for our outreach. And God, we just got so many things we need to be in prayer for here. Yes.
Just a reminder, please pray for me in the morning. That surgery starts at 6 for the cataract. And Herman, pray me one of those calming ones like that.
All right. I'll just pray that yours be calming. And what time tomorrow?
It's at 6 in the morning.
6?
Six. You better do it before you go to bed.
Yeah, well, that's for sure.
Yeah, I don't know how many people are going to be up here.
Well, he must have a very early golf time. Be that early. We'll be in prayer, darling.
Thank you.
Yes. Let's see. Anything? Any other prayer requests? that you might know of. Yes.
We should pray for Tish to recuperate from the fall.
Yeah. Bless her heart. Please be in prayer for Tish. She walks in the places and does a lot of things, and so let's please be in prayer for Tish.
She would recovery. Have been here if she hadn't fallen. So she's getting better.
she's getting better. Okay. We've got Steve. Yes, Steve.
I have a prayer request for this month on the 16th. We go to court for my accident so I can get my shoulder fixed because it has not improved at all and it drives me nuts.
Okay.
I can't sleep. I can't do anything. It's just constant pain. So I need to get that thing resolved.
So we need to pray for your shoulder?
Well, that the jury finds enough money so they can pay to get my shoulder fixed.
Okay. And your dog to calm down.
Rotator cuff.
No, I got a bunch of pinched nerves and all that kind of stuff. It just doesn't relax.
Okay. Be in prayer. When do you go in?
16th.
16th, okay. All right. We'll find out about that. Okay. We've heard about our outreach, and we have a lot of things that need to be in prayer for. And getting ready for young people's things. First of all, I guess the different things you'll have to be doing for the young people. And praying for the outreach here. And so let's be in prayer and prepare ourselves for the offertory. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just pray you continue to guide us. Continue to use this assembly. We know, Heavenly Father, we're young, we're old, we're young, we're small, assembled. But Heavenly Father, we love the Word, we love the Son, and therefore, Father, we pray that you will continue to meet us in the finances. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen. Both Wesley and Jerry made it home and to work with Tish. Oh, okay. All right. Now, there's just so many things we need to know of and be in line of as far as the study of the Word of God. And I think after the salvation, there's nothing more important than the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, led of the Holy Spirit, guided in the Holy Spirit. So this morning, we begin our study on the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The indwelling. We have filling, but we also have indwelling. We're going to have to study on this and be able to understand what's going on in this regard. So let's begin with a word of prayer that the Holy Spirit will open our mind and our eyes to things that He would have us to see in regard to the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. There are so many things we need to understand, Heavenly Father, but we need the Holy Spirit to have those understandings. Pray that you, Holy Spirit, will bring us to an understanding to function with the Holy Spirit in our lives. To this end, Father, we do pray in Christ's name. Amen. All right, we've made it now to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Verse 13, in Him you also, after listening to the word of truth, that is the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now we're moving to verse 14. Who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of His glory. Now, does anyone not have a copy of our pass out? Everyone have a copy? Okay. I'm so thankful to Kip works from putting these things together for us so much. Okay. Here's more grace. And I say more because of what we studied last week in dealing with salvation. But it was more grace in the plan of God. God the Holy Spirit has a ministry in our salvation. He also has a ministry in our daily lives. This is part of God's purpose and plan of God for every one of us. You've got to understand the Holy Spirit. Now, verse 13 ended last week with sealing, the sealing of the Holy Spirit of everyone, of us who believed in Jesus Christ as Savior. Now, in verse 14, the Holy Spirit is given to each believer as a pledge. We are sealed in Him. Now we are pledged. Now let's kind of work our way through this. First of all, it begins, who is? Who is? This refers to the Holy Spirit, given as a pledge. Who is? The Holy Spirit, given as a pledge. We have to slow down and take a look here at the word erbon, because this word is used with three times and only three times in all the New Testament, and all three involved with the Holy Spirit. And so let's take a look in regard to the relationship with the Holy Spirit. The first place is 2 Corinthians 1:22 and then 2 Corinthians 5:5. In both of these, Paul wrote that God is given the Holy Spirit as a guarantee or pledge or down payment or first installment. Now in Ephesians 1:14 that we're in the midst of studying, God given the Holy Spirit as a pledge of His inheritance. The Holy Spirit is the first installment from Jesus Christ to the Father. Let me quote that. The Holy Spirit is the first installment from Jesus Christ to His Father to everyone who believes in Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. I don't know how I'm going to finish Ephesians, but I'd also like to finish Romans too. But anyway, Romans chapter 8, verse 32.
Can you do it before or after?
Probably not.
Probably not.
Never mind. No, not the doctor, actually. All right. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him over for us, for us all, how will He not so also with Him freely give us all things? He, Jesus Christ, given to God the Father, given to us all things. Now, please be sure that you understand that God has freely given all things to everyone who believes in Jesus Christ. God the Father first gave His Son on the cross. Then God gave His Son all blessings, which everyone who believes in Him receives. Every one of us that believes in Jesus Christ receives these blessings, which everyone who believes is to receive. This is the beautiful, wonderful, gracious promise from God to His Son, stated in Isaiah 53, 1 through 10, namely Isaiah 53:10, "But the Lord was pleased to crush him." This is God the Father pleased to crush Jesus Christ on the cross, putting him to grief, if he would render himself as a guilt offering, which he did. He will see his offspring, he, Jesus Christ, will see his offspring, that's you and I. He will prolong his days throughout eternity, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his, Jesus Christ, hands. Now, let me just stop for a minute and talk a moment. Many preachers find it satisfying to say that God will take away these blessings from those who believe Jesus Christ is Savior, that do not live the straight and narrow as they see fit how you're supposed to live. If you're not, you're going to lose these things, they say. This is according to such people as Bill Weiss, W-I-E-S-C, and what he's doing now, he is saying that not every believer is going to go into the rapture. Not every believer is going to go into the rapture. They're going to have to go through the tribulation if they even make it then. So he's now pulling this type of thing going. Many try to teach that a believer can lose these blessings given to them at salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. And if you do not live in the straight and narrow, you're going to lose these guilts, these things. I don't know what kind of God these people have. I do not know what kind of God they teach about. Who knows? They talk about a God who will take away blessings that He's given at salvation. People, you cannot lose anything you received at salvation. Now, we can talk about things you're going to lose in life, in eternity, based on your living in a Christian life. But these things are given to every believer, the point of faith in Christ. Now, 1 Ephesians 1:14, who, the Holy Spirit, is given as a down payment of our inheritance. He is down payment or a pledge to every believer for all eternity. He is a down payment for phase two of your life as a believer in all eternity. The Holy Spirit is not only the seal on us, He is also the first installment by God the Father in His plan for blessings from God to His Son. The point is that the Holy Spirit indwells you right now for everything, for all eternity. You cannot lose them. There is no place, there is so much for us to learn about the Holy Spirit. We'll pick up a little bit tonight or from now, but every now and then we'll bring in more and more about the Holy Spirit. There is so much to learn and understand about the Holy Spirit. It is most interesting to understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. There's so much to learn. We're seeing right now in Kit's study in Judges the ministry of the Holy Spirit in many different ministries of the Holy Spirit throughout the Old Testament. It's been a very good and very powerful study. Now, we go to the New Testament. God the Father seals every believer with the Holy Spirit in the church age. And He is given as a pledge to every believer. This means that the Holy Spirit indwells every believer. The Holy Spirit indwells every believer. He may or may not control your life. It's up to you. But He still is inside of every one of you for all eternity. Cannot lose it. When God the Holy Spirit controls your soul, controls your life, that is what is called the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now, in Galatians chapter 5, which I love, there are other titles for the ministry of the Holy Spirit besides the filling of the Holy Spirit. For example, Galatians 5:16, walk by the Holy Spirit. So there's walk by the Holy Spirit. Verse 18, led of the Holy Spirit. Verse 18, live by the Holy Spirit and follow the Spirit. He may not be in control of your life. May not be. That's going to be up to you. Instead of His filling your life, or He will not be walking, you'll not be walking in the Spirit, not be led of the Holy Spirit, living of the Holy Spirit, or following the Holy Spirit. And when you're living in sin, and in the desire for the flesh, your flesh nature, and in sin, instead of being filled with the Spirit, you will grieve the Holy Spirit, and you will be also quench the Holy Spirit when you work in doing good works. So there's a lot going on with the Holy Spirit. We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Cannot change it. Then as believers, a short time on earth as a believer, you can be live of the Spirit, be flitched, or walk in the Spirit, live in the Spirit, lead in the Spirit, those things. Or you quench the Holy Spirit. Grieve the Holy Spirit. This is all involved in our life right now. But for eternity, you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. If you're quenching the Holy Spirit, that is, you are producing human good. What is the important point to God and Father is regardless of what the three conditions that you will be in, but the great issue is it doesn't change whether you're filled with the Holy Spirit or quenching the Holy Spirit or grieving the Holy Spirit. You are sealed. You are sealed and pledged by the Holy Spirit. Now, it's time to take up a doctrine, if you please, some points dealing with the Holy Spirit. So let's take a look. Point one. The teaching of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is the church age, is never ever mentioned in the Old Testament. This is presented in the church age in Romans 8:9, Galatians 3:2, Galatians 4:6, 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. Let's take a look at 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know that your body is a temple? People, this is every born-again believer. Good, bad, or indifferent. Every believer. Know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you. You have from God. And that you are not your own. For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. You have it forever. But glorifying it in your life is the great issue here. All right, so that's point one. It deals with the teaching of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Now point two. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is called by one other name in the Bible. anointing. 1 John, both in 1 John. 1 John 2:20, 1 John 2:27. 1 John 2:20, but you have an atoning from the Holy One, and you all know it. Verse 27, and as for you, the anointing which you received from Him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you, but as for His anointing, teaching you about all things, and is true, and is not a lie. And just as it is in a taught you, you remain in Him. So, point two here is dealing with another word for the indwelling. You have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the atoning of the Holy Spirit. Here we have to understand atoning. First, it's a figure of speech, and it is used of atoning.
It's anointing.
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 Anointing. Thank you.
Sorry, I just want to clarify because they don't have the this.
Anointing. Well, yeah. Anointing.
Make sure they're hearing the right.
Anointing. So understanding anointing. It's the first figure speech, anointing in substitution of the Holy Spirit. So you either have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit or the anointing of the Holy Spirit. In other words, every believer in the church age is anointed, meaning every believer is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Second, in John 16, 7-14, the ministry of the Paraclete, this is the teaching of John, alongside to do the work for us. Anoint advocate intercession instead of Jesus Christ saying the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of truth, anointing of the Holy Spirit, will guide you in all truth. This is from the Thayer Greek English Lexicon. Okay, so does everyone understand anointing of the Holy Spirit? Now, point three. Jesus Christ Himself gives the prophecy of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit for the church age in John 7, 37 through 35, and John 14, 16 and 17. In Ephesians 1, 13, we have the promise of the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 14, Jesus Christ gave a promise of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit for believers in this age. So this is our position of understanding with the Holy Spirit. Roman numeral 4. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit must be distinguished from the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now, just stay with me in the next few minutes. Chapter 4, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit should be number 4. Number 5, the dealing between the filling of the Holy Spirit and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So we have concepts, but they do differ in word of each one. And number 6 also is different. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit must be distinguished from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So all different, the three dealing with indwelling and filling, but with different emphasis. So let's take a look at 4. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit must be distinguished from the filling of the Spirit. The indwelling occurs at the point of salvation and never changes. The filling of the Holy Spirit is commanded in Ephesians 5:18 and lost through sin. Ephesians 4:30. Ephesians 5:18, filling of the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 4:30, you can lose it by sin. Filling of the Holy Spirit. But whether you lose the filling of the Holy Spirit or not, you never lose the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Never forget this. Many erroneously like people to claim you can lose your salvation, which of course would mean that you would lose the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But the Bible tells us that we are promised for God the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You cannot lose it. So point four, the indwelling and filling. The difference between the two. The indwelling occurs and never loses. Filling of the Holy Spirit, you can lose. Now, that brings us to point five. What is the difference between the filling of the Holy Spirit and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit? What's the difference? The fact is that we can lose the filling of the Holy Spirit, but we cannot lose the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The purpose of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is the sealing of every believer. Ephesians 1:13. This is why carnal Christians will not lose the Holy Spirit, nor lose their salvation. We have the Holy Spirit to teach the Word of God, to fulfill the divine nine, Galatians 5, of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Point six, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit must be distinguished from the indwelling of Christ. Not of the Holy Spirit, but of Christ. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit must be distinguished from the indwelling of Christ. In the church age, every believer is indwelt by Jesus Christ. Every believer is indwelt by God the Holy Spirit. There must be distinguished. Christ indwells the believer for the purpose of fellowship. Jesus Christ indwells the believer for purpose of fellowship. Romans chapter 8, verse 10. If Christ is in you, and He is the ideal of the first class condition, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. You cannot lose it. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? That's a test of salvation. Now the Holy Spirit indwells the believer for the purpose, the function of life, learning the Word, these kind of things. God the Holy Spirit makes the Christian life function in his life. Maximum full fellowship with Jesus Christ is fulfilled by the dwelling of Jesus Christ. So I hope you understand the two. Difference between indwelling of the Holy Spirit and dwelling of Jesus Christ. Now, seven. The function or purpose of the Holy Spirit is there to learn the Word of God and remember the Word of God through your life. The function of the Holy Spirit. John 14:26. Beautiful study in dealing with John 14, what the Lord is telling us about what He's going to do with the Holy Spirit when He leaves. John 16:12. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them by the present time. Church age, you'll be able to. Because the indwelling of the Holy Spirit has not yet happened. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak on His own initiative. But whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify Me. He will take of Mine and will disclose it to you. Verse 15, all things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore, I said that He will takes from Mine and will disclose it to you. The Holy Spirit will disclose it. Now, the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to declare in 1 Corinthians 2, 5-19. Here he in verse 16 is for clear that the Holy Spirit is the mind of Jesus Christ. It is the purpose of the Holy Spirit to cause us to comprehend the Word of God. Number 8. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit in the church age is necessary because of the intensification of the angelic conflict. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is in the church age necessary because of the intensification of the angelic conflict. A couple of passages we could look at. Ephesians 1:13. In Him, you also, after listening to the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise. Verse 18 is confusing to many people who read this passage. So let's look at verse 13. Who is given as a pledge, or who is given as a down payment of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of His glory? A lot of people don't understand that verse. It just doesn't seem to work for them. Who is given as a pledge, or who is given as a down payment of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of His glory? Now, the NIV has who is a deposit guaranteed our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. Now, let's look at this in this way. So let's see if this helps, makes it clear for you. The Holy Spirit is the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the possession to the praise of His glory. So that's as clear as I can make it right there. The Holy Spirit is the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the possession to the praise of His glory. Now, NIV, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance of our coming to Christ at the rapture until the redemption? That is, until the redemption of the resurrection of the body. Or do you understand that now? Got two resurrections. Two different resurrections being talked about here. Of those who are God's possession, are God's owning to the praise of His glory. Now, who? Go back. This is the Holy Spirit, is by God's giving as a pledge of our inheritance of our salvation. So we have an inheritance and our salvation given by the Holy Spirit. Now, until the redemption, or better, because of the redemption. The redemption here refers to receiving the resurrected body. The redemption refers to receiving the resurrection body. This is actually every believer receiving a resurrected body at the resurrection of all believers. Redemption of the soul occurs at the point of salvation, at the point of faith in Jesus Christ. Redemption of the body occurs at our positional redemption, at the rapture of every believer. There is a salvation redemption. There is a rapture redemption. There is a salvation redemption. There is a rapture redemption. Redemption of the soul occurs at the point of faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. Redemption of the body occurs at the point of the resurrection of the body. Any question? Okay? The redemption of God's own possession. The redemption of God's own possession. This means that every believer redemption at the rapture is the possession of God to the praise of His glory. In verse 13, the Holy Spirit is called a seal. Now, He is called a guarantee or pledge. Who is given, that's the Holy Spirit, has given as a pledge. The Holy Spirit is given to all believers as a pledge from God. The Holy Spirit is a guarantee. The Holy Spirit is given as a surety for a fuller gift hereafter. The Holy Spirit is given to every believer as a down payment to be given at the second coming of Jesus Christ. Of our inheritance, we have not yet received. We have not yet received the inheritance with a view to the redemption. This refers to the redemption of the coming of Jesus Christ. Of God's own possession. We are each one of us given to the possession of God when Jesus Christ comes to earth. All of this to the praise of His glory. Now, as we think of the future blessing that we are to God and to Jesus Christ. Do you understand that? We are a blessing to God and to Jesus Christ. We are to praise Him all the more of His glory. You understand that? You are a future of the blessing to God and a blessing to Jesus Christ. Verse 12 to verse 14 refers to the praise of the glory of God. This teaches the Holy Spirit's work in a believer's life. Now we come to it, the praise of the glory of God the Father. Summarizes what Jesus Christ taught in John 17:1-25 as is glorified in verse 26. John 17. Every now and then you want to just read it. Sit down and read it. It's to Jesus Christ, to His Son, about you. It's unbelievable. But look at John 17:24. And I have made your name known to them. That's the believers in the church. And will make it known, so that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. The Holy Spirit is a down payment of our becoming inheritance because of the redemption of God's own possession, our property. All believers are the property of God. Every one of us. Well, which is going to result in the praise of His glory. No matter how you may live on earth, what you may get on earth, what you may lose or gain on earth, you have the redemption of Jesus Christ. You will offer the greatest of praise to the glory of God. Now, since God, the Father, indwells you, regardless of the status of His indwelling, meaning blessing or not, you have an inheritance from God forever. There are so many truths as to why a believer cannot, will not, ever lose his salvation. The Holy Spirit is the down payment of our inheritance. Now, all of the glory of Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 14 is brought into the first apostolic prayer from Paul to his people. So, we're going to pause now. We'll end here next week and begin prayer. A very important study on prayer will begin next week. But right now, let's just concentrate on the Holy Spirit and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now let's go to our communion. Go to communion. Each communion service, I want to add a little more. We did the last one. We spent the whole time on the first time of bread and the wine were mentioned by Abraham Melchizedek. But now, let's just spend a moment on the communion. I want to deal with seven names. Communion. We are in spiritual communion with God. We are in communion with one another when we take communion. Secondly, Eucharist. This is more exact for the Greek. And this is used twice in our Lord's wording. The Greek word means for Eucharist refers to give thanks. Therefore used to describe the supper. Three, it's called the Lord's Supper or the Lord's Table, instituted at the last Passover. Four, be known as the sacrament, Christian rite recognized as a church significance, the sacrament. Five, ritual. Some call it a ritual from the Bible. Six, breaking bread. This is often talked, but without mentioning of the wine. But it's called the breaking of bread, Acts 2:42 and Acts 2:46. And then finally, it's called agape, love, by the Holy Spirit. Now, what we'll probably do next time, in Mark 14, this is not just the Lord's Supper. This table is prepared to be the last Passover and introduce the first communion. At the Passover, at the Lord's table, Jesus Christ is both host and we're the guest. He's the host, we're the guest. Both Passover and communion speak of the Lord, of the work of the Lord's work at the cross. Now, in dealing with the communion, we've dealt with these many times, three things. First of all, it is a memorial. It is a proclamation. It is a communion. It's a memorial to what Christ did for us on the cross. It is a proclamation of the future when He comes again. It is a communion fellowship between us and the Lord and us and one another. So the communion has several different meanings as far as our daily life is concerned. Okay, so this morning, let's go into our communion and have the communion service. I love the communion now, the way we do it, from what we used to do it. It's the way you're supposed to do it. At least it's what I did when I was a kid. So that's what we're going to stay with. Well, there it is. There we go. I have the Lord's Supper. We'll eventually cover all of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, dealing with being in the proper attitude and ready for the communion service. I think every one of you understand the importance of being filled with the Spirit and occupied with Christ. So this is what we'll deal with. Now, the Lord's Supper has two parts. It has the cup and the bread and the cup. And the cup represents the work of Christ's work on the cross. So, and the bread deals with, the bread deals with His work on the cross. And the cup deals with the blood, which deals with His life and our life with Him. So let's pass the bread. There we go. Oh, like this. Reading from 1 Corinthians, chapter 11. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, and this is dealing with His work on the cross, He broke it and said, "This is My body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the fellowship that we have together with You, with Your Son, and with each of us. To thank and to remember what He has already done for us on the cross. How thankful we are, Father. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Pass the cup down the. Thank you. Please stand. In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, now the Passover is over, so it's into the church age. This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time we have together studying the Word of God. That you have blessed us with the Holy Spirit. We have Him indwelt in us, a guarantee, a sealing for all eternity. Thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit teaching us the Word of God to strengthen our souls that we know how to live each day. Father, we thank you for the communion together. Spend that time just fellowshipping together the work of Christ on the cross. And then, Heavenly Father, thirdly, thank you for the fellowship we're about to have together, eating together, fellowshipping together. And Father, we just praise you for these things, for the glory of Christ. In His precious name we pray. Amen.